across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06. It's a Tuesday morning. It's July 30th. And it's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the app, through social media, by podcast. Nice to have you along. I got a question for you. Can you see me? The fog is so thick out here, I worry that it has somehow encroached inside the house as well. The camera appears to be okay here. Yep, looking good. But yeah, high humidities all around the state once again. It's foggy. It's steamy. There were these intermittent pop-up thunderstorms yesterday that started training, meaning they were popping up like right over Chippewa County, and then they would move south, southeast from there. So one moment you thought the rain was done, and then it started again, and you realized another big old red blob on the radar popped up right over you. And there will be scattered thunderstorms, thunder showers around the area. Again today, we'll hear more in our forecast throughout the course of the day here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up on the program this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about crypto and Eric Hovde and Donald Trump and other politicians who are embracing this alleged currency. I mean, it's something. It's an actual thing. It's still not quite clear what exactly it does. And it's also not quite clear to what extent certain politicians want to put you, the taxpayer, on the hook for their interest in cryptocurrency like Bitcoin and things like that. Now, Eric Hovde was at a conference last weekend in Nashville about it. President Trump has talked about crypto. He used to be against it. Now he's for it. What is it that they're looking to do with our tax dollars, potentially? And how can we ensure that we have full transparency from candidates about that? It is Tuesday, so we talked to a couple of my Up North News colleagues. Sharita Booker, our social media manager, talks about some of the more popular social media posts from the past week. And Christina Laurie, who puts together our daily newsletter, has a few words to say about some of the more uplifting stories that she's been doing primarily over these past couple of years about state fair food this time of year. And with the fair opening up, some of the foods that have some staying power and some of the foods that came and went for a perfectly good reason because they were interesting, you know, like the stuff with the smashed up dead bugs, things like that. In our second hour, conservatives are not crazy about conserving land. There continues to be an assault on land conservation programs by conservatives in Congress as they work on a farm bill. The kind of thing that could help protect our natural resources, could help enhance our state's recreational economy and keep our farmland productive, but that's getting in the way of people who want to build strip malls and golf courses and things like that. So you have some real Republican hostility against land conservation programs. We'll talk to our friend, Lincoln County dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser, about that coming up in our second hour. And Chad Holmes will be along as well to tell us what's on his program on Bull Falls Radio up in Wausau following this program. And you can hear that as well through the Civic Media app. You can reach us throughout the show, throughout the day, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. You can call us on that number. You can text us at that number. We'll see it and maybe put your text up on screen. Same goes for Facebook and YouTube. If you put a question or something else in the comment section, we might throw it up on screen and respond to it here as part of this little radio show. 6 a.m. temperatures at 10 past 6 look like this. It's 65 here in Chippewa Falls. Hayward's at 58. Park Falls, 61. Wausau reporting 66 degrees right now. Green Bay, 68. La Crosse, 66. Wisconsin Rapids, you're at 65 right now. Oshkosh, 67. Madison, 63. And out in suburban Milwaukee, it is 64 degrees in Waukesha, where we find one Greg Bach standing by to get us going on a Tuesday morning. Mr. Bach, good morning. What's on today's t-shirt?
You found me. I'm here in Waukesha. This is just, yeah, I've worn this before. This is the Swag Shop. This is a barber shop.
The barber
shop in Atlanta that Killer Mike, a Grammy winning, award winning guy, Killer Mike owns with his wife. And it's a pretty cool shop. And I went there to visit and she'd be like, hey, this is really cool. And you're like, all right. I'm like, okay, I'm going to leave now.
I always have to look because your screen on my computer screen is about, 2 inches by 3 inches. And a friend was recently noting on Facebook that he'd gotten like a new larger TV, but he had like this, I mean, the old TV, old, is like, 50-inch or 55-inch screen or something like that. And for a hot minute, I considered, now I've got an iMac, okay, and I've got an iMac with a big screen. Yeah. I don't remember the actual size of it, but it's one of the large, when we first got it, I thought, ooh, is that screen too big? And now, when this friend mentioned, I'm now envisioning, I actually could get a 63-inch monitor on here, and it would enable me to see, you more clearly. My rapidly aging eyes could see things even better. It would look like maybe this was NORAD, and I was tracking Russian missiles and Santa. But I am definitely thinking about the possibility of an even larger monitor on this desk. And I can, from across the house, I can hear my wife's eyes rolling from here. I don't know that would naturally be something she would suggest, but I don't know. Maybe it's just a man thing. I don't know. We love our big screens.
I have my wonderful, wonderful wife. She is a movie and TV enthusiast. We own lots and lots of movies. So when it came time to buy a television this year, there was no question that it was going to be of a larger size. Like, it wasn't something I had to convince her on. Mm-hmm. And I think our television's like 72 inches. And maybe it's 60. I don't know. That's the thing is, she found it. She looked at Consumer Reports. She did all that. I'm like, does it work? Is it, it's not like $10 million. Cool. Let's just get it. But I think about that now as my monitor, cause I run two monitors here in the studio. I always think that's super cool. Like, I'm like I'm important enough to have two monitors.
Well, here's where Sherry gets involved in the conversation again. 2 years ago or so, they brought a second monitor to her desk at the clinic, and said, yep, this is for 2 months. And she, of course, was quite, I don't need two monitors. Oh. I'm fine with what I've got. I'd be fine just working off my laptop.
Yeah.
And I said, well, let me help you configure this. And so I got it set up so that you could get the mouse across from one monitor to the other. And I just watching her just going, ooh.
Yeah.
And she's like, she's never going back. Never going back you've had the two monitors. So no, I don't think she would actually push back on my getting an even larger monitor. I think she would just kind of roll her eyes like, yeah, I get it, because, yeah, can you imagine doing what you do now on one monitor instead of two? It would be so tiny.
You'd be like, honey, see, with the monitor, I have to. And she's like, you don't have to defend this. Just buy it. I have things to do. I'm a doctor.
I wore contacts for forever, and I wear glasses now in the morning because it's the only way I can see the screen. And I always I have to be cognizant of that on Zoom calls if I've got contacts later in, because now to see with contacts, I've got to get really close to the screen. So I'm going to make some noise with the microphone here, but I got to take my glasses off, and then I get really in like this, and it's like, okay, I can't see Greg's t-shirt right now. So yeah, a bigger monitor might be nice.
Well, at least it's not just a picture of your forehead for the entire call.
That was like when camera phones first came out, and my late father, and he wasn't old at the time. I think maybe he was, 69, 70, something like that. Mm-hmm. And yes, the entire time we're seeing his ear. I'm like, Dad. Pull the phone away so I can see you. And I'm like, no, I'm hearing you just fine. You could hear me if you pulled the phone away, Dad. So,
and Dad,
I screenshotted it. So I've got this, I have many lovely memories of my dad, including this photo of his ear.
Love it.
And I say that now, knowing full well, I mean, my oldest grandson turns 18 next month, and I can only, I can only envision the things that I'm going to learn from him and the 10-year-old and the 5-year-old and the 2-year-old, you know, the things that are just going to confound me. And I'm going to be like, we never needed that when I was growing up.
But it's going to be watching your oldest grandson criticize or your oldest grandchild criticize your youngest grandchild. Like, when I was your age, like, wait a minute, that's my job.
He's already doing that. He's looking at like some of the TV shows that the 2-year-old and the 5-year-old are watching. Like, oh, that's so old now. You know, we were watching that back in the day. Time is a flat circle.
Time. What a construct.
I did not watch a lot of Olympic. I actually, well, because there was a lot of men's gymnastics. They eventually got to more variety, but there was a lot of men's gymnastics, a lot of swimming, which was, again, okay, but I kind of like to like keep it moving. What else can I look at?
Yeah.
So I actually flipped over to the Brewer game for a bit, which was good because they were doing quite nicely yesterday. So I didn't see a ton of Olympics. I don't know if you watched as much the next day as you did when you promised you weren't going to watch, you know, before.
I have not had a chance to watch any. I'm going to probably watch some today and then try to watch like an hour or two when I have the time. But yeah, I basically just, unless it's like we turned on water polo and that lasted all of 4 minutes in the house. We're like, this is dumb. I'm sorry. Like you guys are way better shaped than I am. And they actually, it was weird when they were showing it. They're like, here's what's going on under the water. And you can see that their bodies are really moving under the water.
Yes, but they are. Or they would drown.
Random camera shots. Like we were watching the women's beach volleyball.
Oh, yes.
And all of a sudden, like the camera just starts panning down. I'm like, this is
stop it.
Ew, No. Well, I don't need close-ups.
I don't need close-ups. And by the way, special note to some of the beach volleyball teams, including the U.S., you could be dressed when you compete as well. Look at some of the other teams. They're wearing clothing. It's okay. They make all kinds of sportswear now. You can wear more than dental floss. And I'm not saying that as an old prude grandpa. I'm just saying when you compare all the teams, I'm not sure that you're getting a big advantage by that much less fabric. Not great news for Giannis Antetokounmpo. He and the team from Greece just lost to Spain in the Olympics. That drops Greece to 0-2. So they may not be advancing in the Olympics in basketball. Back to baseball, meanwhile, for the Brewers. It was a very good outcome. Willy Adames hit a 3-run home run. Rookie Jackson Churio had a 2-run homer in the eighth. And the Brewers beat Atlanta last night 8-3. For Adames, it was his 17th of the year, his 8th 3-run home run of the season. Colin Ray got the win. Game 2 against Atlanta tonight. Neither team has named a starting pitcher yet. Game time 7:10, pregame 6:35 on some of the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network. And it's on said network that we continue with Up North News Radio. After this, you're up north. Talk to Sherita Booker, who is our social media manager. That means that of all the people, me and Christina Laurie and Selena Heller and folks on our national team and freelancers, all these people who are working on things, they go out, they type up their stories or they make little posts, and then it all goes to Sherita. And she's the funnel and then says, okay, this one's going to go to Facebook on this time, or this one's going to go to Instagram on this time. She makes sure they're formatted great. She's just... How do you describe yourself, Sherita? Are you like the toolbox? Are you the glue that holds us together? I mean, be honest. How do you describe yourself to all your friends and family?
I describe myself as busy.
That would be very true when you consider all that we pump out, and it comes to you, and you are the publisher, and we are extremely grateful. How are you doing? How's summer going so far?
It's going well, but it's going fast, too fast.
Uh-huh, I'll bet. But you're not at the point yet going, when do these kids go back to school? You're still actually enjoying everything.
I've been there.
we all have, trust me. All right, well, let's get started on some of the more popular posts from the past week. And to no one's surprise, because we talked to, you know, meteorologist Brittany Merlot every day from Oshkosh, the EAA Air Venture, always a big and popular show, and it turns out it was a big and popular post for us as well. Tell us more about that.
The EAA Air Venture took place last week, bringing in thousands of pilots and aviation enthusiasts to Oshkosh's Whitman Regional Airport. The event was first held in Milwaukee in 1953, moved to Rockford from 1959 to 1969, and has been in Oshkosh since 1970. That post had almost 9,000 likes on our Facebook, which is a lot.
Yeah.
And yeah, Emilio said, it's actually really awesome to see, not really in an aircraft, but when they fly in formation, do stunts, draw in the sky, it's really awesome. And Tara said, I live 20 minutes away from here. You can watch the planes come and go from our airport here in town. Hotels and motels book out a year in advance. Even the college here in town rents out the dorm rooms. I've met people from Africa, Scotland, France, and Ireland. I do avoid driving that way because the traffic is crazy. People also camp wherever they can for the week. Ooh, it sounds so busy there.
It sounds very busy, but yeah, there are many comments here about the folks that they meet. And again, you're away from all of the other cares. You have that one commonality of the air venture and flying, and you make all kinds of friends. It sounds like I still haven't been there myself, but from everything that, you know, Brittany was talking about every day, it just seems like something that needs to be on my bucket list. And sounds like everybody's bucket list is sometime you should go see it at least once.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about taking an impromptu trip there with my kids, but I'm going to the Dells. I'm like, ugh. Worth timing.
Yeah, well, you know, one popular place or another in Wisconsin, you can't really go wrong. It's kind of a win-win. Yeah. To nobody's surprise whatsoever, whenever we put up something about Culver's or Quick Trip, these two Wisconsin institutions, people like it. People respond to it, especially since Culver's had a big birthday recently.
Yep, its 40th birthday. It celebrated. The restaurant first opened in Sauk City, Wisconsin, and now has more than 900 locations across the U.S., in states like Illinois, Florida, Michigan, Indiana, and of course, Wisconsin. That post had more than 7,000 likes on Facebook. Bethany said, can you come to California and challenge In-N-Out Burger? I miss the good butter burger and custard. Jean said, I moved to Florida in 2014 and there were only 5 Culver's then. When I left Florida in 2023, there were 103 Culver's in Florida. Great food and great service. Great job.
I think that's great, especially if, and folks will know exactly what I'm talking about, if all of them teach the same kind of, you know, work ethic that you get behind the counter at every Culver's in Wisconsin or Quick Trip or some of these other places, you can tell they emphasize being nice. We've all been to places where you can tell that is not part of the training at all. Yeah. And when you go to these Wisconsin institutions, you are, I mean, look, sometimes maybe you're going to think it's a little over the top or hokey, but better than somebody snarling at you. And I think this is just a great collective ambassador across the country for, you know, how good and nice customer service can be in the state.
Absolutely. And I go to Culver's often. It's not too far from my home. And they're always fast, nice, and food's always fresh. Like, we love it.
Mm-hmm. So happy birthday to them. That's a nice anniversary, 40 years to have. All right. Our last one is about the Fonz. And a lot of times we talk about the bronze Fonz, the statue in downtown Milwaukee. This time around, we're talking Happy Days. We're talking the real life Fonz, aren't we?
Yeah, we're talking about Henry Winkler, who recently visited Iola for the town's annual car show to celebrate 50 years of the Milwaukee set sitcom Happy Days. He also made a surprise visit to Iola's Crystal Cafe. That post had almost 3,000 likes on our Facebook. And Bevy said, how cool is that? Nice to know some people who are rich and famous are still down to earth. Love the Fonz. And Steven said, I grew up in Muskego and watched Happy Days every night. And I used to watch that show too all the time when I was a kid, and I loved it. It's like one of the staples of my life.
Well, I wondered about that because obviously, I mean, the original Happy Days, you know, that oldsters like me watched in the mid-70s. But when you've got it set in Milwaukee, I am sure that you get at least another generation out of it of people who are familiar with it, either watching it or they hear about it. Laverne and Shirley as well. I mean, that's just part of the core culture there, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think, was that like all a part of the Nick at Night era? That's yes. What I used to watch it on. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, that makes perfect sense now. And I've got some friends who used to go to Iola for the car show every year. and they haven't gone for quite some time. And they read some place that Henry Winkler was there, and they were kicking themselves for missing it because they love the show anyway. But then you get a celebrity sighting in there as well. It just makes it that much better. Anyway, all of these posts and more are put up by Sherita Booker, our social media manager. Just search for Up North News WI if you're not already following us on your favorite social media platform. Sherita, thanks so much. Have a great day.
Me too, Pat.
It is 6:27 now, and I just wanted to bring up briefly something that caught my attention over the weekend, and that would be Eric Hovde. You know, we teased him when he was running for U.S. He is still running for U.S. Senate, but we teased him when he took an unexpected trip out to his other home, or some would say home, like, you know, his home in Laguna Beach, California. Well, when he wasn't campaigning in Wisconsin last weekend, he was in Nashville at a Bitcoin conference, a cryptocurrency conference, and talking about how he is in favor of what he calls decentralized finance. But then also said that as senator, he would make sure that the U.S. has standards and rules in place for cryptocurrency. So it makes you wonder, you know, which is it? Do you want things to be decentralized, or are you just saying you want to be the one to make the rules? And then you had Donald Trump also speaking at the Bitcoin conference and saying that the U.S. should be the Bitcoin superpower. All Bitcoin should be mined in the U.S., which takes up a tremendous amount of electricity and a tax on our natural resources. And all I want to know is, if you're advocating for the U.S. government, meaning the taxpayers, to get deeper into crypto, is it to protect your investment? And if so, what is that investment? Where is Eric Hovde's stake in cryptocurrency and Donald Trump's, for that matter? Because without answers to those questions, we don't know if you're really doing something for the economy or something that's meant to benefit your portfolio. So just beware of the hype about crypto. And make sure it's accompanied by some transparency before we take any politician at their word. Christina Laurie talks to us about State Fair food next. You're up north. There is nothing like a state fair, whether it's the Northern Wisconsin State Fair a couple of weeks back or the big one for Wisconsin, the state fair that opens in West Allis this week. And if there's one thing that Up North News is consistent about, it's covering food at the fair. All the fairs, all the foods. Love them all. Christina Laurie has been kind of our chief fair food correspondent for these past couple of years and talks to us now about the 2024 edition. Christina, hello. How are you?
Tough assignment, isn't it? But someone has to do it.
Somebody's got to do it. And so
I'm a woman of the people.
Yep. And so we're going to talk about food, and we're going to talk beyond, you know, what you might have here in front of us, though what you have here in front of us is pretty good to start with. I mean, there's a Wisconsin Products Pavilion worth of food to talk about, and there's always something new. So do you want to talk about some of the favorites or some of the new stuff?
I think this year, just because it's a big milestone, when you think fair, many people think cream puff. And this is the 100th anniversary of the cream puff. Which is crazy that it's only been around for 100 years, right? I mean, that's not enough generations for me. So they were first sold at the State Fair in 1924, obviously. And in order to celebrate their birthday properly, the State Fair is doing something that they've never done over the past century and releasing cream puffs in four different limited edition flavors as well. So they're going to offer root beer float to start the fair. That's from August 1st to 3rd. Then from the 4th through the 6th, they're having raspberry cheesecake. That is my personal favorite of these options. Then 7th through 9th, they're going for English toffee. And then they're going to celebrate its official birthday, which is on August 10th with chocolate birthday cake cream puffs. But if any of those flavors, I mean, you don't really always want to mess with greatness. So all of those days, they will, of course, be offering the standard cream puff as well.
And you are definitely in the standard cream puff fan category?
Yes, but I have never tried raspberry cheesecake, and I've never met a raspberry cheesecake flavored item that I have not loved. So very interested in that one.
What I'm saying is there are some people who, when presented with the opportunity to have a cream puff at the state fair, would say, no, thanks. I'll try something else. And you know, I wanted to make sure
My complaint that I recently was having this discussion with my dad, because I've never met anyone who loves cream puffs more than my dad. I also love them, but the only thing that's separating them from becoming like an all-time favorite dessert is that they are so difficult to eat, and there's not really a good setup at the fair. This is no knock to the fair. I mean, they don't control the weather, but it just a cream puff is delicious on a super hot day, but on a super hot day, you have to like scarf it down so it doesn't melt and drip all over you. And then unlike cupcakes where, you know, you can kind of like rip off the bottom and put the bottom on the top to make a sandwich and, you know, cement it all together. So the frosting, you know, you get frosting with every bite. The cream puff, it just shoots out everywhere and it's so messy. That's
yes,
my
it
only
does.
But the taste is delicious. Okay. I would love to see, since State Fair, I mean, we're going to go through some of these new items that it's basically known for food on a stick. Mm-hmm. I would love maybe a challenge for the 101st year of the fair that we offer cream puffs on a stick, where we maybe just have the shell on a stick, you know, a bunch of mini shells, and then they give a little cup on the side with the cream. And you can dip each one individually.
A cream puff kebab.
Cream puff on a stick. We have to call it on a stick. We have to be with the State Fair branding.
Yes,
here,
we
Pat.
Can't. Okay, yeah, but, we can't. We call it. Can't call it a kebab. Okay.
But I don't know. I take this idea. I've just gave you a free idea.
Look, please. It's not like we're lacking for ideas here. And what I mean is, maybe not every idea needs to be turned into something. Your idea, I think, needs to be turned into something.
Some of these new things.
I don't know. I feel like now we're just throwing darts at a board here. Where would you like to start in describing something new?
Okay. How about I'm going to throw out some of some ones that caught my attention rather. Some are gross. Some are just really interesting. Some, like this first one, are just super Wisconsin. I feel like you can't go wrong with this, but I also never have heard of anyone like clamoring saying, why didn't this exist? It is the beer cheese and brat spud muffin. So what is that, you may ask?
Beer
it is
cheese
a
and
cheesy
brat
hash
spud
brown bread. Mixture infused with beer cheese and bratwurst, baked in muffin tins, and voila, there you go. I feel like it can't go wrong. It sounds like it will taste good, but I'm not sure it was necessary. What do you think?
Well, it almost sounds kind of like one of the Sporky's finalists was a beer cheese lava cake, which was a pretzel slider bun and beer cheese. So again, sometimes it feels like we're just moving deck chairs around. And I'm not sure if that one would work. Would you try it?
Well, see, this one, this is like the common fallacy. You know, well, there's always that debate, like, is a hot dog a sandwich? I think we need to call things what they actually are. Beer cheese lava cake, it cannot be a cake. It is not sweet. It is not a cake. It can be stuffed with beer cheese, but I think we need to stop calling things by other names. Now, this is another controversial one. I actually can't believe they haven't had it before. There's like about 1 million flavors of fudge at the State Fair. And this year, for the first time, they're offering bubblegum fudge. That is another thing I don't know that anyone was asking for.
Boy, does this bring back an old memory. Used to get, of course, like, you know, penny bubble gum, like these, you know, little marble sizes of bubble gum that you'd get at the candy store, or the corner store, or whatever. And we used to have a piece of bubble gum and then also a small, you know, wrap like you get for Halloween, Tootsie Roll. And you chew those both up together, and pretty soon you had chocolate bubble gum. So maybe we were ahead of our time with the bubble gum fudge. Or maybe we were disgusting as kids and you shouldn't be doing this now either. I don't know.
I don't even know how to respond to that. I can't co-sign on that, Pat. I never did that as a kid.
I'm just saying, we were kids. We were idiots. Looking at Sporky's nominations for this year, you know, the big food award thing, can I just say, and again, we love Quick Trip. It's a good Wisconsin company, but I'm looking at this, Christina. Nobody's asking for a hot ham and melted cheese sandwich drizzled with raspberry jam smashed between two Quick Trip Glazer donuts. No.
I am not going to let you slander this item, Pat. This is the one item that popped up to me as delicious. It will It is a savory and a sweet breakfast. It's things that everyone wants. That's why they serve pancakes with bacon and eggs, because it's that salty and sweet combo. And you live in Wisconsin. Everyone loves a glazer. Why not use it as the buns of the sandwich? Please don't knock it until you try it, because one time there's this donut shop in Disney World that makes these like really extreme donuts. Mm-hmm. And they also sell just like a classic glazed donut cut in half, made a grilled cheese sandwich out of it.
No.
Sounds absolutely gross. It is honestly one of the most delicious things I've ever had in my life. I think about it at random times when I'm hungry. And I did once try to make it myself. It's harder than you think, because the glaze just kind of like gets everywhere. So I don't know the secret, but I am going to taste test these glazer sandwiches, and I will report back.
Good.
And I
guarantee I love it. You're going to have to, because there are things when you talk about sweet and savory. I'm looking back at all of our past year's stories. And from 2021, the cinnamon roll and bacon cheese curds. These are cheese curds dipped in a sweet beer batter laced with crispy bacon, flour, cinnamon, powdered sugar, then deep fried. Now, that's a mixture that I could go along with, for example.
It seems like it kind of goes along with the cinnamon rolls and chili. We have different tastes here, because I don't like that. I don't like the combo of cinnamon rolls with savory. Okay. I think it needs to be much simpler. And something like a glazed donut, it's just like a blank slate. It can kind of like, it just brings that little bit of sweet.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm going hard for this.
Let's go. Combo. All right. Well, boy, if you like that, you'll like this one from 2022 when this was actually one of your first stories for us. I got to double check the dateline here. Yeah, it is. Let's see. There's the Arctic Bug Blast Slush, a raspberry slushy topped with whipped cream and a sprinkling of edible bugs.
So I can let you know, I don't know if I was like playing it cool back then because I was still a newbie. I definitely didn't sample that. I just got quotes from people who did. But for anyone out there who like loved that and is looking for something new, this year on the new foods list is bug juice. It's green juice with ice cubes that have real edible bugs in them, which will release as the ice melts. So that's incentive to drink it faster before they melt and destroy your drink. And then the rim of the cup, in case that's not enough for you, it's dipped in caramel sauce and then crushed up black ants. And then if that is not enough alone, it is topped off with the scorpion. I draw the line at bugs. I'm not interested in eating them. I'm sure also on the list this year, because it was the year of the cicada, there are places that are doing fried cicadas. Bugs can be bugs. I don't want them.
No. Okay. Now there are traditional things that you can get at the fair as well. We've got an article on the website.
Yeah, let's go to something more delicious, please.
Yeah. For example, a cherry ice cream sundae from Future Farmers of America. It's just Cedar Crest vanilla ice cream. Drowned it in sweet yet tart Door County cherries. You can get strawberry chocolate or maple syrup sundaes as well. I mean, that's a classic. You've got a Usinger's sausage sampler on a stick. There you go. That's how you put food on a stick, is a sausage sampler.
And the best part of all of these, Pat, is that they are in the Wisconsin Products Pavilion. So you can feel good celebrating your state. But the real draw here is that is one of the only fiercely air-conditioned tents at the fair. And when I say that air conditioning is strong, I mean it. The temperature in there has to be in the 60s, which feels absolutely glorious on the scorching hot days of the fair. Also, just something, I know it seems like super simple with the lineup of all the crazy foods that are offered at the fair, but really, there's nothing better. Maybe I just love grilled cheese so much. I mentioned it a few minutes ago, but the grilled cheese inside the Wisconsin pavilion is absolutely delicious. It's only $5. You get to pick your cheeses, pick your bread. They make it there right for you on the spot. It is delicious. You can't go wrong.
That's good. And then in that article, there is a link that you put in there to an article from last year that said, are you having state fair food withdrawal? Here are some favorite foods you can order year round. And this is in the category of what you said a few minutes ago, whether you can call something a cake that if it isn't a cake. Do you remember writing up the place in Port Washington that makes a Wisconsin funnel cake with tempura battered mozzarella whips instead of regular dough?
I do. And again, I'm going to go hard for this because this is absolutely delicious, but they do need to change the name. It is not a funnel cake. It looks exactly like a funnel cake, but it's just those like wispy whip mozzarella curds all fried up in one giant patty. It almost looks like a giant hash brown, really. It's absolutely delicious. You just rip it off piece by piece, dip it in marinara. It is absolutely delicious. It is also not a funnel cake, but it's available at Fork and Tap year round. In Port Washington, if you're interested. The real star of this list, though, which you can find on our site, it's just called Three Fair Foods. You can order year-round, are the Lightning Rod Mozzarella Sticks from Alfonso's in Milwaukee. Well, it's two locations. Their original is in West Allis, but then they also are in the Third Street Market Hall. And they, if you are a fan of mozzarella sticks, you have never had mozzarella sticks like this, and you will love them.
I'm gonna take issue with this. They're not mozzarella sticks. I'm looking at the picture. That's a mozzarella loaf. That's not a stick.
Or baton. I think they look really the size of, you know, we're in Olympic.
They are the size of an Olympic baton. Bring these to Paris. Here, you've got to run with cheese. That I would like to see. That you would be awesome.
Rice Lake has one of the best sprinters on Team USA, Kenny Bednarik. Maybe his secret to success is loading up on these before races. I mean, that has to have a ton of protein, like a literal ton.
Maybe we have him run with these just for fun when he gets back. Kenny, let's make this happen. So for details on these foods and more, some of them amazing, some of them gross, some of them just not properly labeled at all, head over to UpNorthNewsWI.com and sign up for Christina's daily newsletter by clicking a newsletter in the top banner as well. Christina, thank you so much. Enjoy the fair.
Thank you. You too, Pat.
We'll have today's history lesson coming up right after this. You're up north. Time for today's history lesson, and the number one hit this day in 1966 by the Troggs. And I'm realizing that this sounds good. I mean, it's a classic song. I'm like, what's missing? Thousands of cheering people from the movie Major League.
Oh, yeah. Filmed right here in Milwaukee, baby.
That's the clip I should have grabbed for this. Everybody just screaming that at the top of their lungs as Charlie Sheen comes out of the bullpen. That's what made the song what it is today. On this day in 1974, President Richard Nixon released the White House recordings that had been subpoenaed, but only after being ordered to do so by the U.S. Supreme Court. It was the beginning of the end. He would resign in disgrace just about 10 days later, once people heard on the tape him being part of the Watergate cover-up. On this day in 1982, a very underappreciated movie opened, Night Shift, directed by Ron Howard, starring Henry Winkler and Michael Keaton, debuted in theaters. You're with me on this.
I was just thinking about this the other day. When you watch that movie today, the progressive message of that film is so amazing. And it's Michael Keaton's first movie. And I think it's Henry Winkler's first like major movie outside of like being on Happy Days.
I would totally believe that. I remember it really caught me, and I could not believe that it didn't have more of a following in the years that came. Anyway, the reason we mention is not just that the movie opened this day, but that the soundtrack featured a song. You know the song. It was written by Burt Bacharach and Carol Bayer Sager, but the song isn't sung by Dionne Warwick, Elton John, Gladys Knight, and Stevie Wonder. It's sung on the soundtrack by Rod Stewart. Keep smiling, keep shining, shining, knowing you can always count on me for sure. As it just so happens, today is International Day of Friendship. So that's what friends are for. Seems to work out really well there. Doesn't that just match? It just makes you feel good, doesn't it? We're swaying now.
We're vibing.
All right. Yeah, let's move on to something completely different. On 1991, Enter Sandman was released as a single, serving as a preview of what was to come from the Black Album by Metallica. You know, nobody's going to buy me as a heavy metal DJ, are they? Now, here's Metallica. No. You're probably more familiar with this song than I am.
Yeah, I've listened to this song thousands of times, played this song hundreds of times. I sat on the steps of the mainstream music in Waukesha here downtown. On this day, 1991, I got there 3 hours before the store opened because I thought there'd be a line out the door. There wasn't. and I bought the cassette tape of this album, and I wore it out.
Really?
I am a huge Metallica fan. Like, it is. I've seen them five times. I played their music when I was in bands. Yes.
This allows me to explain that, yeah, my musical spectrum, shall we say, is rather limited.
Yeah,
it's not very wide, but it's very deep where I do know it. Yacht rock. Yeah. But then every so often, I will hear something like I was hearing that song last night, getting the notes all set. And remembering there was a time when, you know, one of these satellite radio systems, they sometimes have dedicated channels. There's the, you know, there's the Billy Joel channel and there's the Grateful Dead channel. And they had a Metallica channel for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I would turn that on every so often. And whether it's Metallica or something like Jay-Z with rap or some others, as I tune through these specialized stations, I go, you know, I like some of this stuff. It's just that I wouldn't listen to like an all heavy metal station or an all, rap, some kind of rap. There's so many genres of rap now. I couldn't even pick one, but there's like little things you like from each one.
Yeah.
And I wish I could do a better job of curating for myself the stuff that I would like, you know, but that's not how it works. You have to hear stuff that you don't like and go, no, I don't want to hear that anymore. You know?
I see what you're saying. Yeah. I get what you're saying. I do feel the same way. I was talking to myself about this last night. It's like, I really like music, but I don't think I love music as some of the people who are like, I have 10,000 albums and I'm going to dive deep into this. No, there's songs I like, bands I like, genres I like. But what's really funny about Metallica is that last week, two of their albums celebrated their 40th and 41st anniversary. So,
wow. Speaking of anniversaries, it was 59 years ago today, this day in 1965, President Lyndon Johnson signed a bill that created Medicare and Medicaid. So Medicare and Medicaid are 59 years old today. We'll continue to talk more about the value of those programs throughout the coming campaign season. All right. Birthday time. Paul Anka is 83 years old today. When he was a lot younger, he had a lot of hits pre-rock and roll, and we could play any of those, but you can't have Paul Anka without his attempt at a comeback hit in the mid-1970s, which is either a tender pro-family love song or kind of creeps you out. You decide. Having my baby, what a lovely way of saying how much you love me. Bud Selig is 90. You asked about Bud Selig recently. He's 90. He's around. So somebody asked me at the Brewers game, like, does he come around here much? I'm like, he's got to be pushing 90. Probably not that much, but then again, so is Bob Uecker. So. Let's see. David Sanborn would have been 79 years old today. The famous saxophonist passed away back on May 12th. Kate Bush is 66 years old today. I still dream of Organon. Actress Gina Rodriguez is 40 today. Actor Lawrence Fishburne is 63. Alton Brown is 62. Lisa Kudrow from Friends is 61. Vivica Fox is 60. Terry Crews is 56 years old today already. And Frank Stallone is 74, brother of Sly. And answer to the trivia question, Siri, play me the most 80s sounding like intro to an 80s song ever. But is it Flashdance? Is it Fame? No, it's something else entirely. But it gave, you know, Frank Stallone a hit, so good for him.